scope of closeout of procurement activities for relevant agreements, closing the procurement shall be done as explained in chapter number 11 that we've already completed now, with a confirmation that all project objectives are achieved and the deliverables are accepted. If necessary, all the pending procurement agreements shall be cancelled as per the agreed terms between the supplier and the organization. Excess buying, if any, must be identified, recorded and included in the final report with a reason and lessons learned to avoid the same in future. The excess materials must appear in the stock register in order to ensure the same used and consumed in the upcoming project. So, I can give you an example of how these small things matter a lot. I was working on with a project in terms of cost saving for on the stationary part of an organization, of a department rather, not even an organization. When we actually went deep down to it, you'll not believe. And we created a project around it to improve the paper consumption in a department. We could save close to $3,000 a week. Now, $3,000 a week is close to $12,000 a month, and then close to $100,000 in a year. So, just stationery. I mean, just those papers and pens and staplers and pins were consumed at that level that nobody was taking care of it. So now, what happened post a project was we started focusing on how do you save paper. The moment you started focusing on how to save paper, paper and other stationaries, it was inevitable that everybody started doing it, and we created a project around it and saved this money. So, what do I do with this excess stock? So, whenever I ask for some stationery, what is the calculation behind me asking for stationery? Or is it just random that get 10 rims of pages? Or is it just random that just get 100 staplers for the department of close to 2,000 people? So, ideally, it's important that I need to protect my stock because it's a stock that is used and reused every time, and if there is something in excess, it can be used. So it's not a perishable item as such that we have. So that's an example of how you keep a stock register. Now, everything was then moved on to an admin department, and an admin department was in complete control to check whether every aspect of my stationery is being used correctly or not. So that's something as an example I can right now give you when we talk about how do you ensure that the stocks are being maintained correctly at the inventory and in the inventories put it into register. That register needs to have a owner, and the owner in this case was the admin person. So let's move on to and also check the next part of it, which talks about perform team members assessment and release the resources for the other projects. So what does it mean? It talks about this shall be done considering the role and responsibilities of the team member. The project management plan and the final deliverable required for him or her. While doing this assessment, other inputs such as resource engaged, the risk phase, the risk response provided, and the approach of all this should be considered. So why is it important? Because at the end of the day, every individual working in a project wants to grow in his life. So if you want to grow in your life, it's very simple that I need to have a document in an organization which says I've done this. As simple as that. Similarly, I will need to know at what level has the individual performed, so that it tells me what is that connotation that I can give him. Can I give him a 5% increment or a 10% increment or a promotion for that matter, because his skills, the skills that he's shown, are amazing. What is the kind of phase, the risk that he's managed? What is the kind of response that he's given to the various risks? Does he have leadership qualities? So these are things that we can we actually work out. As an output of the assessment, the recommendation for the release of resource, the engagement level needed for the project under closure must be done. The noteworthy effort of a team member along with a weakness must be specified in the lessons learned. So remember this, and that's exactly what I'm talking about. Scope of activities for project closing and handing over, a few more here we have. Identify the coordination team with responsibility. risk during the monitoring period and response for the same, including fallback plans. What does that mean? It means that this activity must be done by the project manager in consultation with the project team members and the business manager. In some cases, the performance guarantee of the agreed period may be the contractual requirement. Like, to give you an example, say in a new civil constructed building, there's an elevator which goes up to 20th floor. So this elevator comes with a 3 years warranty. Okay, so that's a basic requirement of, it's a contractual requirement. So that contractual requirement has to be added up. It is also a point of negotiation as a manager when you sit there. That contractual period can be extended to 5 years during the first phase only, or because it's going to cost me annual maintenance fee post 3 years. So that's something that we need to focus on while we preparing this document, which talks about the coordination around it. Let's look at what's written on the slide. It says, irrespective whether it is contractual requirement or not, it is necessary for a project executed is kept under joint supervision, operation and monitoring by the organization for a certain period of time. Duration such period of project manufacturers use can demonstrate operation to the end customer, user customer, and monitor the performance against the project objectives. So I have a very different example to give you on this. The example goes as, let's consider some of us must be, or you know, somebody in the family or in relatives or unknown people must have been admitted in an, you know, for some disease or maybe some accident in an hospital. Say the patient is recovered, he's recovered in 10 days, and there's a word that doctors use, and they say the patient is under observation. So what's that patient is under observation? This is ideally, you know, the time that the project or the person is under joint supervision of the doctors, where they have a little stake, but they, you know, keep periodically coming to you. And more from a person's family or relatives who are there. Initial phases, the doctors are more and the relatives are less. Then the relatives are more and the doctors are less. And slowly and steadily, the fizz-out process happens, which means that you discharge or the relative is discharged from a hospital and he's asked, okay, every 15 days do visit me. And every 15 days after, you know, 3 months, then the doctor says, okay, great. You've improved and nothing wrong with you, and then the project closeout happens. That is what we're talking about here. Similarly, it could be in any processes, whether it is creating a consulting, creating a construction house, or you know, or building a constructing a building, or power projects, or say the wind projects that we have, or building schools. Building highways, building bridges, anything will always have a fizz out method where everybody, where the consulting and the original teams who worked on the project will periodically have a check after some period of time and then move out. So that takes us to the next aspect of it, which talks about few pointers about it. In order to do the this, project manager along with the team members shall identify. So what are the things that you as a project manager should always identify? Is team to monitor the project with roles and responsibilities, communication and reporting method with response. So now that you're not completely involved into it, there has to be a specific individual who is focusing on any queries of the customer or the client that you're working on. The scope of responsibility shall be shared between the organization and the client. So now the people who've created the project and people who've bought the project are no different. They're same parties now. They're working towards maintaining that requirement of this. Budget requirements, if any, has to be very specified. So is there an annual maintenance cost to what you're giving to them? Commercial terms with customers, if this is not part of the contract. Risk anticipated during such period and response plan for the same. So what are the risks? Can something go down, something come up during that period when the handover is happening, and who takes care of that, and how should be our response around it? The monitoring period, if not decided in the contracts, what is the monitoring? So ideally, you have this warranty and quarantine period, which say 3 years, 2 years, 6 months, four months. So it depends upon what is the product and services. All the above shall be formed as a part of your final report of the project. Few more things. So preparing final overall project performance, it talks about the final overall project performance closure report shall be a summary of the project executed, supported by statistical data and a guide for similar project executions in future. With guidelines of do's and don'ts, and the final report shall consider and provide briefing on all project management aspects, including, I'll give you the list of that as well. However, if you remember, yes, you know, in the earlier chapter, we spoke about the truth and the fact. Now, statistical data, I spoke very clearly about it. That statistical data plays an important role. So I need to map it with data and not with my truths. So it's a statistical data has to be put in, and then based on that, what has to be done, what not has to be done, has to be clearly mentioned. Let's look at the aspects that should include. It should include performance with reference to the scope baseline. What was the scope and how have we performed around it? Performance with reference to the cost baseline. So again, the three things will come in: the schedule, the cost, and the scope. If you don't, if you remember, I'm talking about the triple constraint that we've spoken in the earlier chapters. So triple constraint, I need to map every performance according to my cost baseline, according to my scope, and according to, of course, my schedule. Now, performance with reference to all the resources that are required, including human resource, risk management performance, special achievements, if there are any, team performance of the project, including customers, relation management, support from organizational departments, constraints with the organizational process assets. Very, very critical. Now, if these are the things that we have in our lineup, we will find that these things are being handed over critically to the customer. Executing closure of a project, something again we've been talking about this subject, and let's look at what it says on the slide. It says executing closure of a project shall not be tough task, provided the 11 activities elaborated earlier carried out with a focus on the objective elaborated under project's objective of project closing. The standard project closing procedure from the organization process assets or the procedure agreed with the customer that is the part of the contractual requirement shall be followed. The closure of a project under category A and B is easier to compare to the other, since the product is known. And I'll tell you, that's an example that's on the next slide, ideally. So how A and B is being done. Since the product is known, scope is limited, version are obvious, risk and uncertainties involved are minimal. Scope vary at a large extent. Scope of updating the documents is minimal, and the budget is not expected to vary at a large extent. Refer the chart below on the next slide. Let's look at the chart that we have on the next slide. If you look at it, it says project category activities. So these are the project related activities, and this is the relationship matrix of the project closer. So at what level? So I can, if you look at it, it's M, it is L, so it is medium, and this is low. That's how this chart has been prepared. If you look at it, every activity is being gained, and every activity is being tagged with one of the methods. Now, whether it is high risk, low risk, or absolutely no risk. So this is way a chart can be prepared. If you look at the legend here, it says low risk or low realization, medium realization, strong relationship, so these activities are mapped in terms of its duration and the way it has been conducted. So that takes us to the next part of it, which says executing project closure. The closure of a project under category C will be complex as compared to category A and B, since the scope will vary more than improvement projects. Level of uncertainties and risk will be more. Let's look at the pointers that we have. Inputs from previous project sub-project in link should be there. Progress and performance of previous project is linked. Output with project under closure and acceptance of these outputs to the successor sub-project is linked. Progress and performance of a successor project And of course, organization overall project performance requirement priorities and strategies for fund allocation. So what should be my strategies of fund allocation for the next project will be determined from the document that we're talking about. Since the sub-projects are being executed by the same organization, they may run parallel or in sequence as the lead and lag. I hope you remember the definition of lead and lag. I'll repeat it for you. A lead is in a desired time frame, say 10 days. I have completed the activity in 8 days, which means I have a lead of 2 days. Similarly, a lag is if I have a target of 10 days to activity be completed and I have completed in 12 days, which means there's a lag of 2 days. So that's how a lead and lag is measured, maybe adjusted as per the overall project performance, and hence the closure of a particular may be postponed or preponed to align with the overall project's schedule variance. What is a word called schedule variance? In the earlier chapter, we've already checked that. However, just to give you a little bit of reference about it, it is the time difference between the targeted time and the actual time. So that's a variance around it. Some more few things about the example that we shared. The closure of a project under category D shall be equally complex as C, but the individual project supplying organization shall not have to bother about the progress and performance of the other project and can insist for the closure of an individual project that is supplied by the organization. The closure of project under category E shall follow the approach similar to C, that is closing the sub-project one by one and then closing the whole project. The closing of sub-projects may be the internal activity of an organization to follow a systematic approach and to ensure that the closure of the total project is smooth and supported with the closing of the sub-projects. So, if you just read this and you know, relate it back to the airport example, the airport building example that I gave you, you will completely find it out relevant around it. Pluses, of course, we got to celebrate our project closures because we're successful, we've learned a lot of lessons. So celebration is an important aspect. So what is celebration, and what do we mean from project management? What is celebration? How the project celebration is the most important part of project management, not only is for project team members, but also it for the stakeholders, business organizations, and its customers. So, project closure celebration event will have formal announcement of the closure project with a message to the customers, create awareness among all the stakeholders for closing the budget heads and stop additional expenses, prompt all the stakeholders to release the resources engaged, prompt all the business marketing team to book another project, boost the morale of the team for the next project that has to come, and charge them positive energy to take up the new endeavor. So it is important, though it's a closure of something, it's a beginning of some new project also. So let me give you an example around this and how these meetings would happen. These meetings ideally are conducted, maybe, you know, that's been my experience in some big hotels, 5-star properties, where the entire team is called upon and they celebrate the success of the team. There, the stakeholders actually may announce the new project, may announce a new challenge while the project has been successful. So though it's a closing of one, it can be opening to the new project. So that's how a project closure is done. Now, it also depends upon what kind of a project are you doing. If you're doing a project which is very, very at high stake for the stakeholders, then you might have these kind of forums. However, if it is not, then you might have small forums within the organization and completing the closure processes. So this takes us to the next one, which talks about celebrating the project closure. The event is expected to be celebrated in the presence of all the project team members, all stakeholders, customers, and business and operation charge, and the project steering committee members. The project manager should have a lead role in organizing and conducting the celebration because he's been leading the entire team. The agenda of the project celebration should be presenting highlights of the project, presentation of a project performance on scope, schedule, and cost, presentation on constraints and risk management, presentation on special achievements by people who've done that, presentation on lessons learned. So these are the things that we've learned and we should not repeat it, or we should repeat it every time. Unwinding and sharing experience from the project team members. If possible, the organizer should share the commercial part of the project, including the profit margins, which sometimes is not possible. appreciation and reward of the deserving project team members. So that's where we actually have celebration done for the project team members. The last is, of course, thus project closing celebration event is successful closing of one end of year and opening of the other. Continue the project forever and forever. That's how we complete our entire journey of how this project management work will happen. I wish you all the best for your future and be a great project managers wherever you go. Just remember, everything you do is actually a project. It will have a start date, it will have an end date. So including your life, I started off with this and I'm ending off with this. So realize one fact very, very crucially. Everything that is initiated from an idea, everything that is looked upon in a process, which is your planning phase, everything on a design, everything on an execution, everything on a monitoring, controlling, and then closing is project. So these five steps will help you to do great work on projects that you wish to take in future. All the best.